count on us to be talking local. Rutherford Issues with Brian Parrott.
Welcome back in as we continue the conversation on WGNS Rutherford Issues. It's time to talk about Diabetes Awareness Month, and joining us is Jesse Clark, who is the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation Development Coordinator. Boy, that's a tongue twister.
That's a long one.
Yes,
you did great
is.
There, Brian.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We talked a couple of months ago about the Diabetes Walk, which took place October the 8th. First of all, how did that go?
Well, it just went fabulous. We had a huge turnout from the community. We were so pleased. We had about 650 walkers turn up, and we raised over $50,000 to fund diabetes research. So we were so pleased and grateful to the community for their support. You know, it was amazing to see. We had about 55 family team captains. So these are families of walkers, grandparents, cousins, neighbors, friends, who come out and rally around a child with type 1 diabetes. And it's just incredible what these families are able to do.
When we talk about juvenile diabetes, we're talking about type 1, right?
Exactly. You know, type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes are two very different diseases, although they share the same name. Type 1 diabetes, which had always been called juvenile diabetes, until the rules started to change a little bit, and we were finding that people were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes well into their 20s, 30s, and 40s. So we've actually, even though we're still the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, we no longer call it juvenile diabetes, we call it type 1. And type 2 diabetes is also very, very prevalent nowadays. And it's also used to be called adult onset, but we're finding people younger and younger are also being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
I'm glad you've cleared that up for me a bit, because I've heard juvenile diabetes and also adult onset, because my grandparents had that in their later years before they passed away. But it's kind of confusing when you say juvenile diabetes and you know it's someone in their 20s or 30s.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, what we're doing this month with Diabetes Awareness Month, we're trying to just spread the word and get all the education we can out in the community so that people are more educated and they're more aware of the warning signs. Because, you know, a lot of times if a person is young, we think somehow they're going to grow out of it. If they're diagnosed with juvenile diabetes, that they'll grow out of it. Now, the only type of diabetes you might grow out of would be gestational diabetes. So a lot of times when a woman is pregnant, the body's very taxed because it's carrying two people and it has the blood sugar needs of the baby and the mom. And a woman might develop gestational, but then as soon as the baby's born, the gestational diabetes will go away. And then with type 2 diabetes, that too, some of the things are reversible. You can get on medication, you can get strong control over your blood sugars, and that will help to reverse type 2 diabetes. But when you hear of someone that is diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, they're never going to outgrow it. They'll have to remain on insulin for the rest of their life until a cure is found. So that's kind of the differences between the three types, really.
Type 2, it can be controlled, but once, let's say you are not taking the medication or your diet goes awry, if you will, and you're not eating the proper foods, that can come back, I would assume, as well. I mean, do you ever just totally lose type 2 diabetes?
You know, I think with really, really strong controls and catching it early, from what I understand, there's a lot of that can pretty much be neutralized. And it's really about when you're consuming carbohydrates that you're utilizing that energy. Because if the body's not utilizing it, like let's say we eat an apple and then we go for a walk, well then the body's immediately utilizing the carbohydrates in that apple. But on the other hand, if we're sitting on the couch and we're eating the apple and we're not doing any activity, the body's going to store the sugar in that apple as fat. Mm-hmm. And that's what insulin does. Insulin, by definition, is called a fat storer. And it stores it for use in 5 minutes and for use, you know, 5 hours from now. So without insulin in your body, and that's why people that have type 1 diabetes, the body does not produce insulin. It's an autoimmune disease where the body has attacked the pancreas, destroying the beta cells that produce the insulin, and they no longer produce the insulin that takes the sugar from their bloodstream and distributes it everywhere in the body that you need energy. Whereas with type 2 diabetes, it's just that the insulin that's being produced is either A, not enough insulin, or B, the body's become insulin resistant. So if you're always producing insulin and you're just, you know, there's always insulin in your bloodstream, you develop a little bit of resistance to it. And so it's not taking the sugars out of your bloodstream as efficiently as it should. So that's, again, even more information about energy and why we need insulin, and how with type 2, with proper diet, you know, exercise, and medication, type 2 diabetes, you're oftentimes able to control it.
I have met people who have type 2, and sometimes they may have the insulin pump or things of that nature with them. Or you'll hear someone say, I need to get some orange juice, or, you know, some type of, do you have a piece of peppermint candy even sometimes? And I guess that's how they've trained themselves, you know, if their level gets too low, or I guess on the other side could be too high.
Right, and that's something that people with diabetes, both types really, mm-hmm. you can suffer from low blood sugars as well. It just creates all kinds of wackiness. So sometimes when you feel your blood sugar going low, and for those of your listeners, a normal range of blood sugars might be anywhere from, you know, 90 to 100 up into 140-ish. So a low blood sugar would be anything kind of in the 80 to mm-hmm. 50. Below 50 and you're really getting close to passing out or a coma. Anything also above 200, we've seen children when they're first diagnosed with diabetes, they might have 400 or 800.
Wow.
So a very high blood sugar range that would also put you close to being in a coma. So when it gets to be low and you can feel it, either, you know, you've just done a bunch of activity and you can feel your levels are dipping low, you might need a piece of candy or some orange juice. And that's part of treatment with kids who have type 1. They have to have snacks all the time. In case they feel themselves going low, they can quickly grab a juice box or something to pick their blood sugars back up.
And for kids to know that and understand that there's a lot of parental involvement that goes on here, but the kids also have to learn how their body works.
Exactly. And we kind of joke around that, you know, people with type 1 diabetes, you naturally have to be, you know, you have to get smart quick. You really have to, all the mathematics and all the complicated algebra that goes on in your head when you have to think about and calculate, okay, how many carbs did I just eat? Okay, I know that there's 20 in a package, 20 carbs, but I just ate half of that package of food. Now, how much insulin do I have to give myself depending on how much activity I either just did or about to do? And also you have to factor in how you feel, because if a person is sick or they're getting over a cold, that too can have an influence on blood sugars as well as hormones. So young women, young men, hormones have a great deal of an effect on what your blood sugars are like, and no 2 days are the same. So there's all these complicated calculations in your head, both for the kids that have it and adults who have it, and for their parents.
For those with diabetes, it's there every day, you know, when you wake up in the morning until you go to bed at night. I mean, it's just a part of life, isn't it?
It sure is, and it's something that you know, we know there is hope for a cure. A cure is coming, and that's what we're all about at JDRF, is a cure for type 1 diabetes. And I think the biggest thing that's coming on the horizon, you mentioned, you know, not being able to take a break from this disease. There's one man who's actually going to be coming to the Murfreesboro area and doing a research update. He's JDRF's Director of Global Communications, a man by the name of Tom Brobson. And I mention him because it's such a rare opportunity to hear someone speak and give a research update about how close we are to the cure. And he's actually coming to Murfreesboro on Thursday, December 8th. So I want to repeat that again because it is so important for your listeners who maybe have a connection to type 1 diabetes, you know someone, you might have it yourself, you know, make a mental note, or we'll, you know, give my information afterwards. But please make a note that on Thursday, December 8th in Murfreesboro, we're going to be doing a research update with Tom Brobson. And the cool thing about Tom, and you'll get to know this about him when you hear him speak, is that for actually 2 days in his life, since he's had juvenile type 1 diabetes, he's actually gotten to take a break from diabetes and feel like he didn't have it. And that's because Tom is in the first human trials of the artificial pancreas. And it's an incredible technology that combines the pump, which is an insulin pump that gives your body insulin when you need it, Plus, it combines the continuous glucose monitor, which is something you can wear that monitors your blood sugar at all times. Those two units, they're testing out the mechanics of it right now, but those two units will be able to talk to one another and essentially close the loop of what will be known as the artificial pancreas. And I've heard him blog and talk about it, and he said that literally since he was diagnosed with diabetes about 6 or 7 years ago, that was the by far the greatest day of his life, was being on the artificial pancreas in a hospital setting, because we're still in the human trials of it. But it's something that's coming very, very soon for people with type 1 diabetes and people with type 2 diabetes. This will be a technology that will affect both of our populations, because if you have type 2 diabetes and you're on insulin, you'll be able to wear the artificial pancreas and not have to do all those complicated, you know, calculations in your head about what you ate and your activity level. The machine will be doing it all for you.
We're talking to Jesse Clark today, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation Development Coordinator. That, again, is on December 8th. We'll continue to remind folks about that. It will be at MTMC on that Thursday. Coming up this Monday, I guess it is, Opry Mills is reopening, and there's a special event that you're involved with.
You're right. On Monday is actually World Diabetes Day. So Monday is the big shebang. On Monday, November 14th, we're thrilled to have Opry Mills Regal Cinemas has chosen Juvenile Diabetes as their charity partner for the day. So if you're looking for something fun to do on Monday and Monday afternoon into the evening, I believe it starts at 11 o'clock. You can check their website. All the movies that they'll be showing that day will be rated PG and G. So bring out your family. Movies will only be $2.
Wow.
And so that's a huge deal. And every dollar raised all day on Monday at the grand opening of Regal Opry Mills Cinemas will go to fund diabetes research. So we want everyone to come out and tell your friends, because it's a really cool thing to raise awareness for diabetes on World Diabetes Day and raise some funds for needed research.
Now, here locally, there's going to be a big New Year's celebration on the 31st, December 31st, and it involves MTSU basketball. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, it's been such a cool relationship. We've got a huge fan of Juvenile Diabetes over there in the men's basketball department. Coach Kermit Davis has been a great friend to us. He came out to the walk in October and emceed our walk day. He's invited us back, and he wants to do something special for the kids with type 1 diabetes. So we've made December 31st, which is New Year's Eve. It's going to be a special family-friendly New Year's Eve party. So I know I have small kids, and a lot of times I can't take my kids with me to all the fun New Year's Eve things going on. But this is a family-friendly event. Tickets will only cost $5 for an adult ticket. It's a doubleheader, so you'll get to see a women's game and a men's game. And all the kids with type 1 diabetes will get in free that day. So I just want everyone who, again, if you know a child with diabetes or an adult with type 1 diabetes that would like to be a part of that special day in their honor, please get in touch with me after the show, and we'll hook them up with free tickets. It's going to be really a cool event, and we're actually going to do a ball drop at the conclusion. I think it will be New Year's somewhere. I think Paris, France or something. Yeah. So we're going to actually count down and do a big New Year's Eve party that you can bring your kids to.
It's always New Year's Day somewhere on the 31st. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I've heard that. That's a good song. Jesse, give me the information. I'm sure that there's a website where we can find out more. Maybe we've piqued the interest in some folks and how they can donate, how they can help, maybe volunteer time, things of that nature.
Absolutely. I'd love for everyone to find us on Facebook. And I know that's the way people connect nowadays. So we have a Facebook page. It's JDRF Murfreesboro. So if you'll just find us on Facebook at JDRF Murfreesboro, you can like us on there and become a friend. You can actually reach me directly at jclark@jdrf.org. And for general information about the research, you can always go to our website, which is fully stocked with information about the research and Tom Brobson's visit, and that's www.jdrf.org.
Very good. Jesse, always good to have you. We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brian. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Jesse Clark joining us here in studio, the development coordinator for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation here in Murfreesboro. We'll wrap things up in a second. The saving